Hello everybody and welcome to this video, which is kindly sponsored by Squarespace. So today we're going to be editing an archive, the Broughton Archive, and this is particularly relevant to the video that you're going to hopefully be watching immediately after this today. Now, as you can see, this is one of the earliest ones I put in. It's just a column, set of two columns of photos, so I'm going to change that first, go to Edit Section, increase columns to 3, put it to 16x9 landscape, and reduce spacing, and then change the inset to full. So now you can see more photos and a bit more clearly. But also, I'm going to add this little scan of some newspaper extracts. And yep, they're just there. So then I can just go into the gallery and just drag it around to where I want it to be. Okay, that's all nice and done. Good. And you'll see why all this is important, as I say, as the video goes on. And then save and exit from this section. And then we can go down to other sections of the gallery and repeat the process on an as-needed basis. As you can see, there's the full picture. And just pop down here, repeat the option here, and we can format the whole gallery like this really, really quickly. Nice and easy with Squarespace. Now, why am I doing this on this particular archive? Well, stay tuned and you'll find out in a minute. So if after all these little mini tutorials I've been doing, you think you could build a website for maybe ideally naval history purposes, but you never know, you might want to do it for some other reason, then head over to squarespace.com/Drakenefell. You can get a free trial, and once you're ready, that little link will give you 10% off your first website or domain. So thanks once again to Squarespace for sponsoring the video, and on with the main show. Well, today I thought I'd bring you a short little story about how the RAF, dash later Fleet Air Arm, almost brought the entire channel to a screaming halt decades before I was even born. Now, how exactly did that happen, Drac, you might ask? Well, I didn't know about any of this until I'd actually started the channel and had it running for quite a while. You see, this particular little line of investigation all began in 2021 when I happened to notice a gentleman on Facebook who was posting some rather unique pictures that his father had taken during his career in the RAF and subsequently the Fleet Air Arm once it became split off from the RAF in the interwar period, World War II, and immediate post-World War II period. And I was quite intrigued by these photos. However, one of the things he mentioned was that, you know, sadly, they existed purely as photos in an album that he happened to own, and that it was very difficult to, you know, share them further. So I messaged him and said, well, look, I'm happy to pay for you to take these photos to a professional photo scanner to create high-res digital copies, and all I ask in exchange is, could you send me a set of the digital copies, and do I have your permission to host them on my website? And the gentleman was very happy to agree to this, and so after a little bit of work, I acquired the digital copy, or a digital copy, of the photo album of one Lieutenant Commander Peter John Delvis Broughton, who had joined the RAF and then became a Lieutenant Commander in the Royal Navy as a pilot during the interwar period, and then, as I said, World War II and immediately thereafter. But during our correspondence back and forth, I was sent some pictures of the actual photo book, and one of them was a set of photos that the gentleman in question said, you know, I find this a rather interesting what-if set of photos. And the photos were of a very, very badly smashed up aircraft, along with some newspaper clippings. And I thought, okay, well, obviously this is a crash that his father survived, so that's entirely understandable. And it came with a couple of little newspaper clippings that he'd obviously saved. And suddenly my mind went, hang on a minute. So if you look at these two newspaper extracts that came along with the photos, they're both fairly insignificant bylines, one from the Daily Mirror, one from the Daily Sketch, about a pair of, at the time, RAF machines from the Royal Air Force Training School in Wittering in Lincolnshire, which incidentally still exists. And these two planes were flying over a place called Market Deeping in Lincolnshire when one machine hit the other, causing the machine that had been hit to go into a spin. Now, the rather amusing
thing is that on the actual album itself, the label just says Mine, 1937, thanks to Henry. But I'll read you the extracts from the newspaper. So from the Daily Mirror, it says, "Pilot lands safely as plane spins. Wind screamed through the struts and wires as the plane spun at 3,000 feet, earthwards at 200 miles per hour. Acting pilot officer James Broughton, 20, RAF Training School, Wittering, Lincolnshire, fought to get free. Flying in formation with two other planes over Market Deeping, Lincolnshire, his machine hit his neighbour, plunged into a spin. Less than 1,000 feet up, Broughton jumped. At 300 feet, his chute opened, he landed unhurt in a field, and the machine fell half a mile away, wrecked. Acting pilot Officer Smith of the other plane reached the aerodrome safely. It was a marvellous escape, a witness told the Daily Mirror. We'd given up Broughton for lost when he jumped. A few more seconds and it would have been death." Now from the Daily Sketch, it says, Two flyers collide in midair but live. Two RAF machines collided in midair yesterday, but their pilots lived and were not even hurt. One leaped for his life in his parachute, landed in a beet field, suffered only from a mud bath. The other, his plane undamaged, flew serenely on. The planes, both RAF training machines, hit while at exercises over Market Deeping, Lincolnshire. According to eyewitnesses, the two tails touched and the machine piloted by Acting Officer Broughton went into a series of rolls. A fright for workmen. The pilot leaped and, while his plane first began to climb, circled round and then dived for a block of new council houses. The men, working there, made a dash for it, but at the last moment the pilotless machine dived more steeply, bounded over a high hedge and buried itself in a field, digging a 4-foot-deep hole. Meanwhile, the other plane, after circling round, flew off toward Wittering, from which both machines had come. So you might think, yeah, that's an exciting little escapade in 1937, but, well, training accidents happen all the time. But when exactly did this happen? Well, I searched through mentions of Market Deeping in the Daily Mirror, as that is available in the British Newspaper Archive, and it turned out the report was made on Tuesday, the 26th of October, 1937. I then went and looked up the Aviation Safety Network's archives and discovered that on Monday, the 25th of October, 1937, so the day before, which would be understandable for reporting, they record an incident, which I will quote their narrative as follows. Hawker Hart K7501 was involved in a collision with another Hawker Hart, K7435, on October 25th, 1937, over Deeping St. James, Lincolnshire, during night formation flying practice. Both aircraft were from the RAF No. 11 Flight Training School at Wittering. Hart K7435 landed at Wittering, sustaining damage to its undercarriage. K7501 was abandoned. The pilot bailed out successfully, crashing near Deeping St. James, Lincolnshire. So obviously this is the aircraft that crashed. The pilots involved were Acting Pilot Officer T.J.W. Broughton, well, there he is, and Acting Pilot Officer H.A. Smith. Okay, so he's the one in the other aircraft. And then it says, as a postscript, Hart K7435, so the one that survived, was written off in a separate crash on the 12th of October 1938, almost 1 year later, when it failed to pull out of a dive and ended up in the River Perry at Fitzmill in Shropshire. So, okay, we know a little bit more. So it's this potentially Deeping St. James, Lincolnshire. Although the Aviation Safety Network also notes that this was particularly a Hawker Audax Mark I, which is a derivative of the Hart. But in any case, what's this all got to do with me? Why am I so interested in this particular random accident that nobody died in? Well, it's because of where it happened. You see, when I first saw Market Deeping, I thought, hang on a minute. There's only one place in the UK called Market Deeping, and it's pretty small. And in fact, Deeping St. James is nowadays a very small subsidiary part of Market Deeping, up in Lincolnshire or Peterborough, depending on how you want to define geographic areas. Now, why is that area of interest? Well, it's because my grandfather and his brothers, my great-uncles, grew up there. You can see here, this is my great-grandmother on a motorbike of the period. And here's a slightly earlier photo. And there's my grandfather, age 4, at the weir at Deeping St. James. And here's me in 2017 at exactly the same weir. And here's the house he grew up in. The person who currently owns it was very kind. And you see, my grandfather was born in 1930, so he would have been about 7 years old when this accident happened. So, of course, I thought to myself, hang on a minute. This is a small town. At age 7, my grandfather still would have been at school, although in late October, given UK school times, he may well have been on half-term leave. It's very possible. In fact, I would say it would be less probable that he didn't know about this crash than he did. And of course, this isn't something he'd ever talked to me about. So I decided back, obviously in 2021, because this was a year or two before my grandfather died, that I would go and talk to him about it. So I went over. Obviously, this was just as the COVID restrictions were lifting, so I could do so. And I said to him, you've never told me about an air accident back in Deeping St. James when you were growing up. At which point he turned to me and said, oh, yes, I remember that. It turns out, as per the actual accident report, that this had occurred in an evening. And yeah, my grandfather had been out with a bunch of his friends in the local area. And in fact, they'd been walking past a set of fields when they'd seen all of this go down, and they'd seen the aircraft get hit, they'd seen the parachute go out, and then the aircraft had come plunging towards the newly built houses, and they thought, oh, that's going to be interesting, and then the aircraft had come towards them, and they thought, this is perhaps a touch more interesting than we were counting on. And then the aircraft pancaked into the field right next to where they were. And having overcome their immediate shock, they went and had a poke around and a bit of a look. And of course, the local workers, who'd almost been hit by the aircraft as well, decided to have a bit of a poke around and a look as well. And then my grandfather and his friends were promptly told that this was no place for children. So, of course, they scarpered off back to where they'd come from, except for a couple of souvenirs, which they'd already stashed. And yeah, my grandfather then went to his shed, opened up a little cardboard box he had in a drawer that he'd been keeping for, well, pushing 8 decades at that point, and said, yeah, here's a bit of the that aircraft which I nabbed before we got run off. So yeah, he had been keeping this random piece of crashed RAF training aircraft for decades as a memento of the time he almost got squashed by a falling Hawker Audax, and just never bothered to tell anyone because he didn't think it was that interesting. Now, I have a suspicion that this might have triggered something in my grandfather. I mean, my family history on that side has a long history of pyromania anyway, but in the subsequent war, when various aircraft were falling out of the sky with disturbing rapidity, most of them being German, my grandfather, obviously being a slightly older chap at that point, decided that him and his friends would make a decent living chasing after crashed German aircraft because, well, they'd see them come down and then they'd go, aha, well, if we can get there before anybody else, especially the Home Guard, we can steal things from them. Particularly, they were interested in nabbing ammunition belts from crashed German bombers because you could carry them off home, separate them out on a workbench, and then the brass could be sold or donated to the war effort. The copper and the lead could be melted down, because that's what 11-year-olds do when they're confronted with ammunition in the early 1940s. And the propellant could be poured out and turned into little handheld firecrackers, which they thought was a greatly amusing thing. And, well, you wonder where my lack of safety awareness comes from. But yeah, I thought that was just an interesting little side story about how the RAF training flight nearly wiped out my grandfather back in 1937, missing him by half a field, and he then promptly decided this wasn't really interesting enough to tell any of his family about until, because the channel existed, I was able to find some interesting photos apropos of nothing other than they looked interesting, from a chap in Canada who just so happened to be the son of the pilot of the aircraft that had very nearly squashed my grandfather all those years ago. And now I have photos of the event. I have the newspaper clippings of the event. And of course, I have the memories of my grandfather telling me about the event, or at least what it looked like from the ground perspective. And if you're interested in seeing some of the photos from the Broughton archive, they are, of course, available on the drukinnefeld.co.uk website. So, go and have a look at them and enjoy. Thanks for listening.